It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, let's start the podcast. Hello. Welcome to the magical talking hat podcast. The only podcast that exists solely so that we become so popular that eventually a larger company has to buy us out.
Well, that was the idea, anyway.
No other podcast has ever done that.
3 years into it, and it's yes. not... I mean, you know, we had the offer from Kraft, but that kind of fell through.
It didn't work so well. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 165.
Good thing you know. He emailed me today and said it's episode 165, and I'm like, I have no idea. Because that's your job.
Yeah, 165.
Good work.
Thank you.
You can go now.
Okay.
For those of you just joining us for the first time ever, or for those of you who have, like, that memento disease,
short-term memory problem is what he means.
Yes.
Because if you have the memento disease, you're not probably even going to know what memento is.
No. Unless you got it later. after memento. Which would be way freakier. Anyway, if you don't know what the fuck's going on, the cops are coming. What's weird is just a couple blocks away, the 4-year-old is playing soccer. The producer has gone to watch him play soccer. I hope the police are not being called to the 4-year-old soccer game.
Okay, yeah, I hope.
That would be kind of hilarious, though. I don't know what would be happening.
Well, like, the only reason that I can...
Soccer hooligan riots.
Well, if someone was hurt or something, that would be terrible.
Yeah, that's not funny.
But that's why the police might be going there, ahead of the ambulance and whatnot.
You're dead weight.
Although there's probably an ambulance already there. I mean,
you are dead weight.
How does that work? Because, you know,
I don't think
there's even
an ambulance at the 4-year-old soccer game.
Okay. I was, you know...
Anything where the worst possible injury can be described as a bonk... I don't think you keep an ambulance around.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. Anyway, for those of you who don't know what the fuck is going on, really, do we? No. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Beautiful, brilliant, creative, insightful people like yourselves write that email address with topics, comments, questions, things like that. The hat, of its own accord, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat. We draw out those note cards at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
They just magically show up in there.
We don't know if they're magically delicious. We have not eaten the cards.
Nope, but they are magically there.
There. That's a terrible slogan. Frosted Lucky Charms, they're magically there.
We don't know what questions we're going to have before the show starts.
No.
We don't edit the show or do any kind of rehearsal.
We don't even prevent cats from walking across microphones.
We get in here, we start the recording, we draw them out randomly without knowing what we're going to have to talk about, and then Tony posts it right away without
basically
us doing anything.
Basically, we've committed, the show's an hour, and we have committed an hour and 20 minutes each week to this.
More or less.
I spend the 20 minutes making it into something we can put on the internet. William spends the 20 minutes driving to and from my house. That's it.
It means formatting it to upload.
Yes.
Not like changing it.
No, changing the record from an Audacity file into an MP3, sticking the intro and outro on it, posting it to the blog, and putting a little blurb up about it.
If you listen long enough, you'll get the idea, because you'll notice the quality of the podcast is pretty low.
Yes, but given at this point there's just 6 people who have been listening for ages, This is probably not useful information to anyone. Anyway, it's been 2 weeks in our world.
Yeah.
As you well know.
Right.
Because we did a double, because last week was my anniversary.
Yes.
My 10th anniversary. We celebrated going to what I would say is our go-to restaurant now for fancy dinners, which is Basta, Italian restaurant downtown, just around the corner from Atlas. And we took a taxi, which we have never done in this town, because we're both very light drinkers. And if we want to even just, like, have a glass of wine with dinner, one of us can't, because one of us has to drive. And we thought we should both be able to, so we took a taxi there and back. We did not drink very much, as we are not wont to do, and yet it was still enough that the next morning I was like, oh my god, when I went to the gym.
Now, you had friends come to town, right, that you hadn't seen for a while?
Well, yes, this last weekend, well, was the 10th anniversary. So we had the picnic that we have. Every 5 years,
yeah,
we have a picnic where we invite both families and anyone who is in the wedding party. And
but who were the...
Sherry and Eben.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Sherry and Eben. Who I've met, and I know, but I couldn't remember.
I haven't seen them in probably 8 years.
Oh, wow.
They
really?
Actually came. Well, yeah, something like that. It's been a very long time. They moved to the Quad Cities at a certain point because he's always worked there, and the commute was kind of killer.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah,
good people, nice people.
It was really nice catching up with them. It was a really nice picnic in general. We had a good time. The weather behaved itself well. So that was good, too. Anyway, how has your 2 weeks been?
Well, I still want to hear about everything that you did, because, I mean, I never do anything. You're the one that's got some cool stories about what's been going on.
A lot going on.
You know, you've
the producer and I are still getting up at 5:15 going to the gym. I did get the official go ahead to do the rest of my workout stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I am now in what will be my normal workout mode.
Do you have any restrictions at all now still? Or?
Not really, no.
Huh, cool.
So my deal is, and I just started it this week, every weekday I walk on the treadmill for a half hour. Which at this point I'm walking at 2.3 miles an hour, so I'm doing a little over a mile. Then I do a little bit of stretching. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I do a bunch of stuff for my core.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthen that, because A, that's most important in general, and B, it's especially now to make sure this never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So I do some squats, I do some planking things, I do some weird yoga moves that do similar stuff. So I do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, I do weightlifting upper body.
Hmm.
And Thursday, I do weightlifting lower body.
Hmm.
So the whole process is about an hour at this point. It's been really good to get back into it. And then yesterday, I was really sore. I kind of was still sore from Monday when I did my Wednesday stuff. And then Tuesday when I did the weightlifting, like, I was really sore from that. But it's the good kind of sore.
Yeah, right. And, of course, after a while, that goes away.
Yes, yes. Today was a little weird with the lower body. I was trying some machines I was not as familiar with because one of my legs is kind of weaker since the surgery.
Hmm.
And so most of the machines I do to work my legs work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, then one leg will just compensate forever. Yeah, go ahead and open the door.
Probably needs to mow your lawn or something, right?
What's up?
Hey. Well, I got a 5 from you, and it you gave me, and it was ripped.
Okay, is it not any good?
Yeah.
Alright, can you grab my wallet? Let me see what I got.
Where is it?
Right under that bag. Have you got the full 14?
Yeah. Well, no. Only got the, 5.
That's gonna make it tricky.
Well, I got $10 in my pocket.
Okay, if you got 10, I'll give you this 20.
Thank you.
Well, you gotta give me the 10. You gave me the 10?
I have it.
Alright, can I have that 5, too?
Yeah,
okay.
I have it.
Cool, thanks.
Alright, thank you.
What's this for? The mow your lawn?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Well, this 5 is, like, really hardly there.
As long as it's more than 50% of it, it'll still work.
Well, if it's more than 50% of it, but...
Yeah, I think he's crazy, but whatever.
He'll just give it to some convenience stores.
Exactly. Wow. You know, honestly, I feel like it wasn't that way when I gave it to him. I feel like I would have noticed. Because there's like a third of it gone.
Yeah.
That's weird. For a second, I thought he was real confused because he motored along like 2 days ago. So. Anyway, yeah, so I wanted to switch to some machines that work the legs individually so that I could build up the one.
Well, I didn't even know they had those.
Yeah. It's the same kind of machine. Like, I'm bending my legs, and then there's ones where you just bend one or you bend the other.
Mm.
But the problem is it was slightly different, and I couldn't really figure out how it worked correctly. Like, I couldn't... You need to be put... You need to fit in them correctly, and you can adjust them and stuff. But I didn't... Not familiar with this machine. It's a little bit different, so I wasn't sure. And I'm not sure it worked. I mean, I got a workout today, but it felt a little weird. And it occurred to me after I went to work today that I can just use the old machines, but just put one leg on them at a time.
Right,
so I think that's
right.
What I'm going to do going forward.
You've been playing your game? Your role-playing game?
Well, I don't know. What would we do? We finished the story arc we had. To talk about that, where they had to disarm bombs.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they actually had to disarm 8 bombs, and I was literally going to blow up the whole space station if they failed.
And they were all going to die.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do if this happens, but we'll come up with something. But they survived that, and then this last week we were going to play SWAT, Southeast Missouri Voluntary SWAT Team. But then we got distracted talking about the death penalty in Oklahoma and some other stuff, and so that didn't happen. So next week we will play SWAT. We started talking about the death penalty in Oklahoma. We ended with me showing them the video of Bad Dad. So that's the range of the conversation went over a couple hours.
Kind of like the podcast.
And actually, we spent a long time talking about small-scale anarchy with me attempting to basically speak on your behalf.
On my behalf?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Because that's your jam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm an anarchist.
And small-scale anarchist, specifically. I believe it's communities of 150 or less.
Yeah, very small.
Yes. So, yeah.
Although, I mean, I tend to think that... And I was thinking about this just today because I was trying to... I've had some... Well, one particular conversation I had with my family was a little disconcerting recently. It was about fracking.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've asked my dad if, you know, Iowa has quite a lot of coal in it that nobody mines anymore, but the coal is still there. I think one of the reasons that even now with the way the economy is and our approach to energy and everything, even now the reason that... the coal isn't being mined is the same reason they stopped mining it back in the day, back in the 20s, was because there just wasn't a market for it. Like, other places were producing more coal, and the coal had to travel not quite as far to get wherever it needed to go. So there just wasn't a market for Iowa coal, which is weird to think that would still be true, but I guess it still is. But it's made me wonder if, I don't know if the geology of Iowa, if they investigated it, they'd find that there was... a reason to say do some fracking in certain places in Iowa.
Doesn't coal and natural gas often come together?
I think that's what makes me think that there might be. So, and there's coal on Dad's land or whatever. So I asked Dad some time ago if he would allow fracking, and he was like totally enthusiastic about it. So
wow.
More recently, I had a conversation with them, and I said that I was very skeptical of whether or not that would be a good idea. And my dad mentioned that, you know, it kind of depends on who you listen to as far as whether or not it's a good idea. And I said, well, but there's science, you know, you can...
Yeah, ultimately, there is a real answer.
Yeah, you don't have to just listen to this news source or that news source and think that this one's telling you the truth and this one's not. You can look at the science of it. And one of my brothers, and I said that I, you know, my understanding is that the chemicals they're pumping into the ground are not very good. But the debate, as far as I know, is that whether or not it's a question as to whether or not these chemicals are going to get into the groundwater. it's not a debate as to whether or not the chemicals are bad. Everyone's agrees they're bad, but whether or not they're going to get into groundwater is another question. But one of my brothers asked me, well, what chemicals are they? And of course, you know me, I can't remember things like that. Yeah. And I don't really look into this stuff for the purposes of staging a debate. I just look into it for my own purposes. But the fact that I couldn't sit there and list all the bad chemicals that are in it, I think hurt my credibility in this conversation. So when I got home, I found an industry source. I mean, a source from the actual industry that does this fracturing stuff, and they list all of the chemicals. And of course, they're all horrible. I still can't tell you what they are, remember them, but they're all bad. And I sent that to him. I said, "Well, here's an industry affirmative or industry positive source. You know, so you know that I'm not sending you some liberal claptrap saying that this is what's in these chemicals when it's not." So that he would know, and he didn't respond. But why did I start talking about this?
You were very disconcerted by something in the conversation that you had with them.
Right, but...
But you don't remember what that was? Couldn't have been that disconcerting.
You're clearly
reconcerted now.
I brought this up for a reason, something you were talking about.
Oh.
Weird. Well, anyway, so... So the conversation kind of got dropped, and we haven't really talked about it since. And I think they think I'm a little bit...
Because I was talking about small-scale anarchism and how I was speaking on your behalf to my gaming group.
Oh. No, I'm still not sure
why
I brought this
up.
Well,
small-scale community fracking.
Oh, okay. This is what it was. So I was trying to think of what's really going on with my family and them being okay with this, and why don't they even want to discuss it with me? And I don't think it's really because they trust a particular news source that's telling them it's safe and okay, and they think another news source is lying. I think what's probably going on with my family and a lot of other people is that I think that they believe that there's a free market out there that's sorting this stuff out. And I think there's a belief on their part that, well, If this is bad, it won't be successful, right? The free market won't let it be successful because something will be wrong with it. It'll be too expensive or whatever. But
it'll be too harmful and people wouldn't do that to their own water.
Exactly. But as long if it's happening, then it must mean the free market is allowing it to happen and the free market sorts these things out. And I think they approach a lot of things that way, and they believe that the free market's operating and that's how these things work. But, of course, that's not what's going on in the United States. There isn't a free market. There's monopolies both on the corporate side and on the government side that's saying how things are going to work. And a lot of things happen that wouldn't happen if we did have a free market situation, because what I always assert is it's not really a free market unless it's a fair market. I am of the opinion that if people, that even if people were acting completely selfishly and for their own economic interests, but when they went to purchase something, they didn't just consider what it cost to them right then out of their pocket. Like, you know, going to Walmart and buying a garment that's cheaper than what some local person might be selling it for. Well, it's cheaper out of your pocket when you go there to buy it, but when you consider what the long-term cost is of shopping at Walmart as opposed to your local store, where the money's going to stay in the community, where you know that local shop won't get run out of business, so then that a Walmart can take advantage of the fact that nobody else sells this garment, so then they can jack the price up some more. And also the people that worked at that local shop will work at Walmart now and get a lower wage and no benefits. You know, if you consider the long-term social cost, you will understand that even though your out-of-pocket expense when you buy a garment at Walmart is lower, the overall expense is actually greater, so you won't shop there. See what I'm saying?
I feel you've drifted.
Well, my point...
I understood each individual sentence. I don't understand the arc.
Well... The point is, when I advocate the small-scale anarchy that you're talking about, a lot of what I'm also advocating is a free market type of situation with no regulation. But what regulates it is that people aren't just thinking about how much things cost at the point of purchase. They're thinking about the social cost. And when they take that into account, they're less likely to support large-scale businesses.
Well, wait, so how do you ensure that happens?
Well, there's no way to ensure that it happens.
So then your whole social plan falls apart.
No, not necessarily. Here's the thing about anarchy, no matter what type of anarchy you advocate. For it to work, you have to presume that human beings think a certain way, or are, for the most part, are going to think a certain way. And what's going to motivate people to think the way I just said is because it really just makes the most sense. Now, of course, the argument is people don't act in a way that makes sense.
Well, no, that's not saying what's going to motivate people is that makes the most sense. That's not a
that's not
a functional argument.
What makes the most sense from a financial point of view, because it really benefits them most financially to think of the long-term cost of something and not just the short-term cost.
But again, how do you make... I'm not arguing that if they know and understand and believe that, that's what they will do, but that's a big jump from that to...
Well, yes, because there are so many cultural things that can override that, and of course do. I mean, that's what we live in now. We live in a culture that completely overrides that notion and that idea. But, I mean, this is the problem when trying to talk about anarchy of any kind, much less the kind that I advocate or anyone else advocates, is for anarchy to work, it's just like anything else for it to work. There have to be certain cultural things in place that sort of support it. And that, you know, a lot of people will criticize it for that reason and say, well, you know, it's a non-starter because you got to get people to believe these things that they don't believe. But that's true for any culture. I mean, the reason people believe the things they believe in this culture now is because that's what this culture has taught them. You know, if they lived in a different culture, they'd believe something different.
Yes, but there are social models that don't require changing the beliefs of the people. There's lots of social models like that.
I can't think of a single social model that wouldn't require certain cultural practices and beliefs in order to be supported. Because, I mean, that's just how it is. That's just how people work. They have to have a cultural...
In general, the more restrictive ones, I would think.
Like what?
If somebody with the resources tomorrow decided they wanted to turn wherever they live into a fascist state,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have to get the people culturally on board with that. They would just have to shoot the detractors.
Because people could rebel, people could rise up. There could be an insurrection. I mean, it could turn into a situation that it totally dissolves, and then when the person is done. Either the person gets overthrown completely, or there's no one left for them to rule when they're done.
Potentially, but that's all could-haves.
Yeah. And the difference between that could-have and a different could-have is the people in the situation make a decision, and that turns into a cultural imperative to be like, okay, we're going to do what this tyrant says because we don't want to die, as opposed to maybe a different cultural imperative, which is it's not worth living if we have to live under this tyrant, so we might as well risk dying. I mean, these are cultural. I mean, they're individual decisions, of course, but these decisions are impacted by what the culture believes about, you know, what is acceptable. Is it okay? Is it better to survive and live under a tyrant, or is it better to die fighting? You know, cultures decide. You know, these things, and then people sort of follow along with whatever the culture says, and so you either get people resisting harshly in a big war against this tyrant, or you get people submitting to this tyrant for some period of time until the tyrant takes too much and eventually, you know, pushes things to an extreme where either the people finally do rise up or the civilization just collapses because that can't be sustained. See what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I don't know. And we got on all this. But you look really bored.
I also saw a movie.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I don't just shut up. Tell me about the movie you saw.
Well, you're just not... I don't want you to feel bad, and I don't want you to feel... The listeners may not be... At this point, you've said that exact thing, like, so many times. I mean...
Yeah,
I've read your novels.
Yes, I...
Like, I get it. And, honestly, as much as I appreciate the philosophy, it strikes me as almost entirely deconstructionist.
What do you mean?
You do discuss what needs to happen for the kind of change you're talking about, but not... There's a huge gap between where we are right now and even the earliest stages of what you're talking about. So pretty mm-hmm. much you're like, society is fucked up, and society should be like this. And to do that, we have to set up these conditions. But then there's a huge chunk between where we are now and those conditions that I've never heard you address.
Well...
Like, you've got no plan, which, honestly, I don't think you're going to lead us into a new society, and I don't think
well,
that's
no,
your
I
plan
do have,
either.
I do have a plan.
Okay.
And the plan, and I've talked about it, the plan is for people to... No,
people. You can't... Unless you're going to go out and do something to make people as a whole do whatever you're about to just say, it's still not a plan.
Well, I don't understand what you mean then by a plan.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you, in the next 5 years, what are you going to do?
Well, what I do is, our household emphasizes, you know, local food, local resources, and we support other individuals and businesses that do and advocacy groups that do. We communicate to our representatives to support or at least not put in place laws that get in the way of those types of things. The idea here being that if necessities, as particular food, but other things too, become something that people rely on in a very local way, this is also going to make people focus more on local control of a lot of different things. They're going to be less willing to have a Walmart move into town. And, you know, this is going to create that consciousness, that cultural consciousness I'm talking about, that would contribute to this more anarchistic way of thinking and living.
Yeah, I guess I'm just too jaded. Like, I agree with all that stuff. I don't think it's going to make that happen.
Well,
there is some really great local food movements around here with businesses. They're all very expensive restaurants.
Well, that's now, but I mean, you know, if they grow and, I mean, research has shown that farmers would be a lot better off growing, like, real food, even sustainable organic food.
I absolutely believe that.
Than regular crops. So there's an economic incentive for farmers
believe
that to do
too.
This, and more farmers are doing it. So
at no point am I saying, do I think your model would be bad?
No, I know you're not saying that. But you are skeptical as to whether or not it could ever achieve a certain thing.
No. I'm skeptical as to whether or not it will.
No, and I would...
It could, I see it as a thought experiment, or potentially with a lot of effort over thousands of years.
Oh, well, I don't know if that... Look, I agree that, I mean, if I sat and sort of tried to calculate out roughly what I thought the probability is that it's going to achieve what I would love for it to achieve, it's not a very high probability. But it's not impossible, and, I see a window of possibility where the probability's high enough that it's worth, pouring a lot of resources in if we can do it. But I'm with you. I think that there's a good chance that, especially if we don't make significant strides in the next 25 to 30 years, it's not going to happen, and something bad's probably going to happen before things get better.
And that just becomes the thing for me then. Because, I mean, I still, well, insofar as I don't indulge in my hypocrisy, which I do a lot, but insofar as that doesn't happen, I agree with you on the same stuff, and I try and support the same causes. I guess I don't like to talk about where it heads, because ultimately I just become face to face with, wow, probably just gonna suck. And then I feel bad, and I like to insulate myself from those kind of things.
And you're right, it's really...
So then I'm like, let's not talk about that, let's play Skyrim.
Well, but actually, where it's going to go is... I mean, the focus really should be on, regardless of where it goes, what's the right thing to do right now, regardless, you know what I'm saying? Because if you tell yourself, well, the odds are this isn't going to go where we wanted to go, well, does that mean you shouldn't do it?
No, which is why I said I do that stuff. I just don't like talking about it.
Yeah, it's just...
And
there's no point really in
if I'm
speculating,
honest,
I suppose.
You always seem, I'm not going to say you seem confident about where the future's headed. You seem very confident in your chains of reason with regard to behavior and outlook and outcome whenever you talk about this stuff. And anybody who ever seems that confident about those kind of predictive models, I get inherently both both suspicious and irritated of.
Oh, well, I...
Because I'm one of those people that's like, you can't ever know anything.
No, but...
Which is a useless position to take in a conversation.
And I don't disagree with you. But, you know, just looking at the behavioral models and, you know, the research and the all this stuff, I mean, it this is a way it could go. And not only that, but even if it doesn't ever reach this ideal state that I imagine, or if that ideal state is completely impossible, every step closer to it is better than where we are now. So, and that's good to me, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I tend to speak in terms of idealized situations, I suppose, because that's what motivates me. And I don't mean to put anybody off by it.
See, I think I just don't like it when people hold beliefs. I hate beliefs.
Well, I have a lot of those.
My answers to things are always like, maybe. Or Louis C.K. said in one of his recent ones, I have a lot of beliefs that I don't do anything about. I have a lot of things I like to believe. I just don't like do anything for them.
You haven't talked about the movie you saw, and
It wasn't that good.
Oh.
Well, it was kind of. Okay, it's called Rapturepalooza. And I had heard about it watching a trailer when I went to see a different movie. Possibly This Is the End, which was a different movie about the rapture that I spoke of on here that is hilarious.
That you liked. Yeah, you liked that
movie. I loved that movie. And I feel like this came out around the same time, which is a little awkward for it because it's a very similar kind of deal. A silly comedy about the end of the world. And weirdly, both have Craig Robinson in, like, a major role. So that was a little strange. But I remember it was going to come out, and then a couple days ago I noticed it was on Netflix. And I'm like, wow, we moved from in theaters soon to Netflix really fast. It's probably not a good sign. But I had been curious, and so we watched it. It has, like, every alt comic I know of in it. Paul Scheer's in it, Rob Hubel, Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson, as I mentioned before, Ken Jeong is in it, like, everybody's in it. Anna Gasteyer. It's very silly. It's quite vulgar. It very much has that sort of stoner comedy vibe. In fact, that's a subplot, is that these evil demonic wraith things show up after the thing, and then after to cause havoc and stuff, but then they stick around afterwards and there's not much else for them to do, so most of them become really big potheads. It's a plot point. I laughed. If you have a few drinks and you want to see something of no consequence, it's kind of fun. Much more recommend This Is the End. This Is the End was hilarious. And is in that same vibe. Like, it's a very silly... It's sort of a stoner comedy in its way, too, but it's way funnier. So I would mostly recommend that one. But you can't get that one on Netflix. So if you want something for free, try Rapturepalooza. Yeah, that was it about that. Still playing Skyrim. Still reading the same book I've been reading for a while.
Bates Motel finished its second season.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good second season.
I see
season.
It on Netflix. We're going to have to hit it up at some point.
Really good second season.
We've still only watched 2 episodes of the Fargo series. I still am fully intending, when these seasons end, I'm probably going to stop watching New Girl, Modern Family, and Castle.
I haven't seen Fargo yet. We
I'm
wanted
sick
to.
Of all of them. Haven't been able to continue watching Silicon Valley because they don't have HBO. This weekend, though, our cable company's giving us a free weekend of Showtime, so I'm going to check out some stuff on there. That was always one of my favorites.
Is Penny Dreadful on Showtime?
That, yeah. I think that's why they're doing it.
Watch the pilot, and, I liked it okay.
I think that's why they're doing it, is they're trying to...
That lead actress...
That's why they picked this weekend.
I love her and everything she's in.
What's her Ava name? Green?
Yes.
She's Timothy Dalton. What the hell?
She's amazing.
I haven't seen it yet, but I am very curious about that.
It was the kind of pilot where you watch it and you go, yeah, I'll watch another one of these. Mm-hmm. It wasn't earth-shattering or anything, but, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll keep watching this. This is interesting. Well, I like where they're going with this. And she's amazing. I just love her.
But of course you can't watch it because you don't have Showtime.
Well, I don't know how we managed to see the pilot. I think we could see the pilot because we signed up for a free week of, like, Hulu Plus or something. And we were, and the pilot was on there.
They'll sneak it places. They put the pilot for Silicon Valley on YouTube because something happened when it premiered, like it crashed, something like HBO Go crashed or something. So they just put the entire pilot on YouTube so that people could see it.
Well, the thing about...
But also, they did the same thing. They picked a weekend to give us a free preview of HBO the weekend it premiered.
Well, the thing about Showtime and FX, I think, also is they do not stream. I mean, you can't get it on, not even on Hulu Plus or anything else. They don't stream any of their shows. They show them on their, you know, on Showtime or FX, and that's it. And you have to wait. And they have they're really good at shutting down any, you know, streaming site.
They're on demand for us.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. You could probably see it.
Like, and HBO has their own streaming service, and then they make sure nobody else can get a hold of anything there.
Yeah.
Although HBO recently leased a whole bunch of its old shows to Amazon for their Prime thing, so a lot it hasn't kicked in yet, but pretty soon. 6 Feet Under, Deadwood, Carnival, a bunch of these older ones.
Carnival is a great TV show.
Carnival and Deadwood, I both don't want to watch because I know they don't end.
I didn't really like Deadwood, but Carnival was great. The thing about, like, Amazon...
Ezzy, why are you freaking out?
I don't think she's going to answer you. The thing about Amazon is, I mean, like, $3 a show? I mean, that seems like a lot of money.
Well, no, these are all going to be under the Prime library. If you have Amazon Prime, you get to see a whole
bunch
subscribe
of them
for free.
Yeah.
And we have it, not for the videos, because usually we just watch Netflix, but because Amazon Prime gives you the free 2-day shipping of all Prime-eligible stuff. That's why we now get our toilet paper through Amazon, because it's cheaper.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And just comes to our house. Yeah, 2-day free shipping on all eligible stuff is awesome. And basically all eligible stuff is stuff that's in Amazon warehouses, which means it's not even necessarily Amazon stuff if the company is having them do fulfillment. Mm-hmm. If it's in their warehouses, basically they'll ship it 2-day shipping for free.
Oh, I'll have to look into that. Because...
And it's a yearly rate.
Right.
It's like 80 or 90 bucks year. So like 1 year we're just like, you know what, let's do it this year. Mm-hmm. And see, and at the end of the year, and we hardly use the video thing. Every once in a while, we do. The interface is really clunky. It's really,
but
unless you know exactly what you want, it's hard to find. But the shipping is great, and you get discs. A lot of Prime eligible stuff. You pay less than you would otherwise too. Mm-hmm. So no, I found that very good.
We're also watching Batman: Brave and the Bold, which is
that's a bit of a throwback.
I know, but it's streaming on Netflix, and it is awesome. I love it.
They made some really good Batman series.
Well, what got me watching it was
actually...
Are you
excited for Gotham?
Oh, yeah.
I finally saw the trailer.
I mean, I really hope the show is as good as the trailer, because I thought the trailer was really great. I mean, I thought it really made you think that this was going to be an awesome show.
It looked a little pandering, too.
Pandering?
Yeah, it seemed to really be like, look, all of this stuff we got.
I don't know. It looked pretty cool to me.
No, I think that's the trick. They filled it with stuff that they're like, people will think this is especially cool. So we had to have... We essentially had the Rogues Gallery as little kids.
Well, I suppose
the trailer I saw was a lot of the... Before this, and then you see that person. Before that, and then you see that person.
Looked cool to me. The reason I got interested... the thing is, I haven't seen a lot of the animated Batman stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Really at all. And so this was streaming on Netflix, and I heard that there was some controversy about it, because and the controversy was that Batman Brave and the Bold got a little it was more lighthearted.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And that bothered people, because people still are kind of down on, you know, Adam West and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I thought, man, this is it's basically the animated series Batman, just a little bit lighter as far as I can tell.
That was the thing. I remember watching them and not really telling the difference.
Well,
they're a little bigger on calling him the Bat.
He cracks some jokes, and he says things like, I mean, I can't even think of anything off the top of my head, but and also the way the characters, the way the rogues are drawn and the way they act is a little bit kind of like the 66 Batman, but, mm-hmm. but I mean, for the most part, it's not really anything like Adam West Batman, or a lot of people forget that Adam West Batman, it was pretty much in line with what Batman was in the comic books
at the time, yeah.
almost immediately after.
Well, and then to say nothing of goddamn Super Friends Batman.
Well, okay, so when Batman was first introduced, he carried a gun. He was just this rich guy who was bored and went out chasing criminals. I mean, there wasn't a total pulp character.
Boredom? No parents.
Well, so, you know, Bill Finger makes up this whole background for him and stuff.
Yes.
And so then he gets kind of a little bit darker, but still not so much in the comic books, this dark, brooding character, hateful. I mean, because almost immediately they introduce Robin.
Yeah.
And
Don't get real until Frank Miller.
Almost immediately, that guy writes that book about how everybody in the comics are gay and everything, and so they have to really lighten up the comics. So for most of the time Batman has existed, he's, yeah, a dark character because he's a bat and his parents were killed, but he cracks jokes and he's kind of lighthearted and he's surrounded by people that he trusts and cares about. That's most of Batman's history. The whole thing about him being this brooding character that doesn't even get along with the people.
Super paranoid.
That's a kind of a recent thing. And that's an interesting take on Batman, and it makes sense given his origins, but it also makes sense that because everybody has problems that get in the way of their relationships, but that prevent them from being total jerks. Do you know what I'm saying?
Superman, get over your dead dad.
Kind of like that. So, and the thing is, the Batman I grew up with was fun. I mean, even in the comic books, he was fun. He was still serious. He was still a serious detective, and, you know, this thing with his parents was really bad. But he got along with Robin.
I was just a boy.
He got along with these people. He got along with Jim Gordon. And sometimes he enjoyed, you know, being victorious over a foe. And he believed in justice, right? And so I'm watching Batman Brave and the Bold, and it's like, wow, this is awesome. This Batman is almost a perfect balance between, you know, yeah, you've got that, because there's several episodes about his parents dying and how it affects him, but he's also, he's teaming up with people in the whole series. Each show is he's teaming up with someone, and it's fun to see the banter they have back and forth. And the guy who voices Batman, what's that guy's name? He's a comedian and an improv guy. The only thing I can think of that he was in was Napoleon Dynamite. He was the martial arts instructor.
I don't know, but I know the guy. I always know him as the guy. I think of him as the brown-haired idiot from Drew Carey, because he and Ryan Stiles.
That's right. He was in the Drew Carey show. But see,
he was the friend who was not Ryan Stiles.
But he was also a regular for a little while in Whose Line Is It Anyway or something? I mean, I think that's where I saw...
Ryan Stiles, the other one, was a regular there. Oh. I think once or twice they brought him in.
Well, anyway, he voices Batman. He does a great job. And it's just been really fun to watch.
Did you ever watch Batman Beyond?
Yeah, well, a little bit. And I did see the film they made where Return of the Joker, which was very good.
That thing's fucking amazing.
It's a very, very good animated feature.
That thing was the most chilling Batman thing I had seen that was anime. I was like,
it was good.
Should kids be allowed?
It was very disturbing and it was very good.
It was, yeah, that was awesome.
But
in general, I didn't watch it religiously or anything, but the whole series was, I liked that series. And it's different. It's sci-fi, it's future sci-fi stuff. But I think it hit, because it sort of stepped away from being just regular Batman, it looked at stuff, because Bruce Wayne's still in it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Really old guy.
And so it sort of, it could act as a critique of Batman in some ways.
Yeah. Well,
Batman the character and Batman the series, it was a critique of the villains in some ways as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I found that interesting. And it was just fun. It was a good show.
Well, anyway, we our Netflix queue, our DVD queue, has hardly anything in it anymore. So I just went ahead and put like the animated series in there, and we might watch it because I haven't really watched the animated series. Not, you know, here and there I've seen a few.
Anime
things.
Series is very good.
Yeah, I've heard that. So, I think the Brave and the Bold series is
it just sounds
really,
like a soap opera.
Well, it's really good. It's based on a comic book series of the same name, with Batman teaming up with people.
As soon as I finish the novel I'm reading, I'm going to read a bunch of comics. I've already borrowed from my friend the trade paperbacks for Ex Machina, which I never went back and finished. Once I finish those, I'm going to borrow from them the trades of Lock and Key, because Lock and Key isn't that done. Hmm. I've heard really good things about that. I thought I had another thing to say. I keep getting distracted in your,
sorry,
your many philosophies. Your exciting philosophies on anarchism and Batman.
And Batman.
But we got like 15 minutes left, so we should probably
drop on that.
I learned recently, are you familiar with Michelangelo's David?
Yeah.
I learned why the penis is so small.
Is it small?
People make jokes that it is for the size of the statue. It seems that it's kind of small.
Okay.
But apparently this is very intentional, and this says nothing of David's manhood in particular. This is actually a biological thing. Because what happens is the penis will shrink up when you're scared, basically. It's a thing that happens. And you can't tell, because David looks really chilled out. Except, he does. You know, picture David. He looks really chilled out. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I've never really...
Picture David. He's just like, whatever. But if you... What happened is Michelangelo was carving from up high. And apparently, and I've seen shots of it, if you get up high and look, you can see in his eyes... He's actually, his expression is really, like, freaked out, because he's going to fight Goliath.
Oh, I see.
But you can't see that from the perspective that everybody always sees the statue, which is down low. Mm. I found that really interesting. And it involved a penis, so I knew I had to tell you. Because I knew just that fact alone would mess you up, even though it's not a sexual thing at all. It's just an interesting fact about historical sculpture and biology. I knew it would still freak you out.
Well, I don't know if it freaks me out for the reason that you think it freaks me out.
Ooh, now I'm terribly curious.
Wow, this question sounds familiar.
Ooh.
Blood Sparrow asks...
Blood Sparrow.
Tony and William.
Yes?
What is your favorite soup and why?
I think somebody one time said talk about soup.
Oh.
So...
I don't really have a favorite, actually. I mean, I like soup.
I spent a long time.
I mean, we talked
thinking
about this.
I did not like soup.
We talked about this last time. Soup is. I mean, Panera.
Panera has a lot of great.
Going to Panera and getting a sandwich and soup or a salad and soup even was like great.
I mean, their French onion soup is really good.
Like
their
perfect
clam chowder is actually pretty good.
A perfect thing for me, but I don't really have a favorite.
I tend to like the heavier cream-based soups. You know, chowders, cheese soups. So, like, stuck on a desert island and you only ever get to have one soup, what is it?
Potato soup, I guess.
Potato soup? Any particular potato soup? Like a homemade one that your mom made or
well,
something?
Well, that's probably why I said that. It's because... You know, my mom made a potato soup that was really good. So, yeah, that. I mean, she made other soups, but that's just the one I really remember.
Yeah. Trish makes some really good soups, too. It might be, mine might be one of those. My mom made a couple of, like, soups and stews that I was really not fond of. And so, in my head, I sort of wasn't into soup. And I sort of had to learn my way out of that. At my heart, I mean, I guess it's clam chowder, because I grew up with that. People don't realize on the West Coast, especially in the Northwest, clam chowder is serious business. It's not just a New England thing.
Mm.
And our clam chowder looks like New England clam chowder. But I don't know of I don't know if I'm trapped with a particular kind of clam chowder, what it would be. But I don't want to cover too much ground again. So potato soup and clam chowder, which also has potatoes. So it's all about potatoes. Enjoy.
What about you? Blood Sparrow, why don't you tell us?
Yes, tell us your favorite soup. Is it blood? Does it have sparrows in it?
Actually, anybody who wants to share what your favorite soup is.
Go to the blog.
Craig, tell us what your favorite soup is.
They don't call it soup in the UK. They call it pudding. Or jam, I don't know. As his face is right by the mic, I really want her to say something.
We could draw another one real quick.
Hold on, I want to get her to say something.
Especially if they're just going to ask us what our favorite something or other is.
No, don't bite my hand. Oh, God, don't hit buttons on the computer.
Did she stop it?
No, she did not.
Because it looked like she was going to stop it. Okay.
All right, speaking of Craig, dear Tony and William.
From Craig.
That's us. Soup. No, I'm kidding. what do you think your teenage selves would think of your life now?
Oh, man.
This is weird. I was actually pondering something like this. I think because of my 10th anniversary. Because I, you know, not one to not speak. I gave a little speech at the picnic, thanking people and all that. And I'm floored at how much I love my life. But it bears no resemblance to what I expected it to be. I have a very calm and small-scale life. It is very relaxed.
Well, what did you think it was going to be?
Honestly, way more exciting and probably less happy.
I don't...
Gotta remember, when I'm a teenager, A, I'm a teenager... B, I'm not medicated yet.
Okay.
So, it's hard to tell now, and you've only known me since I've been medicated. I was very moody. When I got happy, I got really happy, and when I got sad or angry, I got really sad and really angry, and I switched a lot.
Okay, but what did you think your life was going to be?
I thought it would reflect that. I never thought I would get married. I very much thought I would be a serial monogamist. Going from Torah to Fair to Torah to Fair. I thought I'd do something amazing. I thought I'd go to college and get a degree in something and then revolutionize whatever field that was. I thought I'd go and just do incredible, amazing stuff. I was raised with a very strong sense of self-esteem, such that I never understood the value of actually working for stuff. I was pretty much convinced I was so awesome it was just going to happen. I didn't expect to end up with a woman like Trish. I never dated women like Trish. Every time I broke up with a woman that was not like Trish, people told me I needed a woman like Trish. Generally speaking, it involved phrases like someone who will kick your butt, someone who will call you on your bullshit, someone who's smarter than you, things like this. And she applies for all of those. Sure as fuck did not expect to be living in Iowa. Didn't know where Iowa was. Didn't care where Iowa was. I didn't expect video games would be so good. my life is just very, very different. And it's just relaxed. I'm very content. I'm at ease. I'm happy. And I didn't really... I thought my life would be way more ups and downs of greater proportion.
Well, as coincidence would have it, I was thinking about this very recently also.
Ooh.
I don't know how much to say about this, actually. Because I actually wrote... Back in March, sometime in March, like the first or second week, I was up late. And I was really depressed, and I was thinking about this very question, really. And I didn't know what else to do. So, I turned on the computer, and I decided I was just going to write something, anything. And for whatever reason, I ended up writing something... that would be if I wasn't going to be alive in the morning. Here I am, overnight. I can't sleep, and when the sun comes up, I'm going to die.
I have written those.
What would I write right now? And in that podcast where I was talking about anger, and Jazz had a really good point about saying, it's not just an issue of you. realize it's something silly to get angry about. It's also an issue of you thinking about why then are you so angry if it's so silly to get angry about. And for me, if I get, almost all the time I get like in a rage, angry about something, even if it's something that's legitimate to get angry about, if my anger is so extreme it's a rage, I'm usually angry about more than just that thing, even if it's a legitimate thing to be angry about. And what I invariably find out I'm angry about is I'm angry at myself. I'm angry at me. That's usually what it comes down to. No matter what I'm angry about, I'm more angry with myself than anything else. And so it's probably, you know, given that, I probably could have predicted what I'd end up writing. And what I ended up writing, without really planning to, was a series of apologies.
That's what I thought you were going
to
say.
To people. You know, I apologized to my hometown for, you know, when I left my hometown, I anticipated that I would have some level of success so that I could help this local school, maybe donate some money so that, you know, even though it's a tiny little school, kids could get a decent education. But, you know, as far as anybody knows in the town I came from, I just left. I just abandoned them. And, you know, that community has struggled ever since then to hold things together. And, you know, what help did I ever provide? None. But that wasn't my intention. I always intended to do something, but as far as they know, I abandoned them. And that's really kind of what I did, because I never did go back. I never did anything. I apologized to my siblings for, you know, I've got, you know, the siblings that live closest to my family have had to do the most to help mom and dad, while, you know, I have done very little because I live clear over here. And just one thing after the next, you know. and when I was finished, I mean, that's all I had was, that's it, you know. I didn't have anything else to talk about, but all of these things that I felt bad about and felt like I had to apologize to people for and explain that that's really not how I intended my life to go. You know, so to answer that question, you know, my teenage self would be very disappointed, and not just because I'm not where I expected I'd be, because even when I was a teenager, I knew that I might not be in 10 or 20 years where my teenage self expected I would be, but at least wherever I was going to be. I mean, what I told people when I was asked when I graduated, where are you going to be 10 years from now? I was going to be teaching at a university because I'd have a PhD and whatever. But even then, I knew that if that didn't happen, I'd be teaching high school. Or maybe I'd be writing for a newspaper. You know, I would be doing something in that general sense where whatever it was I was doing, I'd feel like I was making the world a better place. And so that's why I think that teenager would be disappointed. Not because I'm not a professor, but because, you know, I'm 45 years old. And when I sit down to think of what's the last thing I would tell people, it's just a long series of apologizing to basically everybody I've ever known for not doing the thing I intended to do, not doing the thing I wanted to do, not living up to the promise that they thought I had, or that I thought I had. And so, you know, and I think that just speaks to all the things that I talked about in that past episode of being upset about things and being in a place where I don't feel very positive about not just where I am now, but even where I've been. But, you know, I'm also the kind of person that, you know, I'm still alive. I'm still healthy. I mean, I can do anything with my life that I want. You know, the last kid that lives in the house is going to be gone pretty soon, and that opens up all kinds of...
Like a month or two?
Well,
or is
know,
it not until next fall?
Several months. It'll be, you know...
Through the summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and there's a lot of things I could do, a lot of opportunities. I mean, I don't feel like my life's over or anything, but, you know, it is kind of difficult when you don't feel like most of the things you've tried to accomplish in your life have come to very much. But, you know.
Well, I have two things to say to that. One, actually three things. One, you and my wife parallel in such weird ways that it actually makes me feel like I really need to psychoanalyze our friendship.
I didn't mean to be such a downer, but I mean, the question was, the question was asked, so I answered it.
I said three things. That's just the first one. Two, of all the people I know, of all the people I have known in my life, you are one of the kindest and most caring and giving and loving and active and involved people I have ever known. I believe you don't achieve the level you would hope for, but you are so beyond what most of us achieve in those ways that I would like, though I know it won't happen, for you to take some pride in that. And the third thing is that when you're gonna die and you're leaving a last message, nobody wants it to be an apology. Even if you have stuff to apologize for, even if you have regrets, what you should be leaving behind is messages, things for people to take with them, love, advice, wisdom. Love is a big one. But don't leave them apologies. The last thing I ever hear from you, whenever that is, if one of us is dying or if you're being deported to wherever the fuck you came from, the last thing I want to hear is not an apology from you. I don't want to know about regrets. I want to know about what is there, what was there, because there is something. There always is something. And the regrets don't do me any good now. You're leaving. Back to your home planet.
Well, I mean, I appreciate...
That last one only applies if you write another message to people before you die.
I appreciate the kind words. I wish I felt...
Do you notice I did it as kind of a negativity sandwich? Something... something nice and then something weird again.
And it, that is very nice to hear. And that, I mean, that's what a person hopes they are to other people or for other people. But, and, you know, like I say, it's really just the place I'm in. I just, there's a lot of reasons why I'm thinking in that way.
You dedicated a lot of your time and energy of your adult life towards raising three children that you're now kind of a stranger
to. Which is... And that's all I ever wanted to do when I was growing up, was
and that's,
be a father.
Ideally, the way this ends is you say, well, look, I've got these kids, but he's like, I've got these kids that I'm estranged from.
Yeah.
So it's weird. But you've influenced them in ways you won't be able to predict, in ways they won't be able to predict. You've influenced me. You've certainly influenced the other person who lives in your house. You've influenced my wife. This is what I'm discovering. Neither of us, quite possibly, is going to write Stranger in a Strange Land and change an entire generation of college students. It's the people we touch here. The people that we touch and that they touch. And eventually, some of them are raising kids.
Well,
you know, I'm not having kids. I affect the Cheneys. I affect the Cheneys' kids.
Well, yeah, and
you
and,
affect me.
And you know I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I often use, you know, Abraham Lincoln as an example. If there's a judgment, he's going to be judged based on how he impacted the people closest to him. He's not going to be judged based on the Emancipation Proclamation or anything that he did as president, because for one thing, he wasn't responsible for those things all by himself.
Yeah.
The things that he did were to the people immediately close to him. And I totally believe all that. And you're right about everything you're saying, of course. Again, it's just what I'm going through now, and
it's
but
hard to
but
do
even
because you know what you want to be doing and what you believe you've done.
Well,
if
but
they don't match up. They don't
but the thing
up.
Is that all these people I'm apologizing to were the people closest to me. I mean, there were
yeah.
people I grew up with. It was my own family. It was that's what bothers me is that, you know, if I never, like you said, if I never wrote the Great American Novel or Stranger in a Strange Land or whatever, that doesn't concern me so much. What concerns me is that I didn't do certain things for the people who were closest to me. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I was just this—I was just this non-entity. I didn't really
yeah.
achieve anything or help them in the ways they needed to help. So that's, you know, that's just where I'm at.
All you can do is the best that you can do, and
well,
you're not
seem to
exactly
very much
the most unbiased judge of how you've done.
No, that's true, but see, again, even in the state I'm in, I am optimistic.
Yes.
You know, I don't think of like I said, I'm alive. I
you're entitled to feel that way. You've been through some stuff, you're
yeah.
going through some stuff, and you know, I mean this isn't a spiral. we're not going to wake up tomorrow and you've killed yourself. And
No. I mean, I anticipate living another 45 years and hopefully can do some great things. I mean, truly, that's how I feel about it. But
I'm going to write a really sad apology.
But at the moment, and again, the question was asked, so I'm answering. And I don't feel very good about stuff or myself, but
you and I,
I'll get over it.
As much as it sounds silly, have an influence on our listeners. I have an influence on at least some of our listeners. The fact that they're still listening every week when we are talking, yeah, we do some silly shit. We also have big, long-ass conversations like this that nobody should be listening to.
No.
But they're serious and they're in-depth. And the fact that these people do and want to listen every week means it's having an impact on them.
Well, I just, you know, maybe they have similar thoughts and feelings about things. And
absolutely.
I, you know.
So come apologize to us on the blog.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean.
TheMagicTalkingHat.com. I just want them to apologize.
No. I mean, to feel like looking at their life and maybe not feeling all that positive about it. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggles with that.
Times with like that and stuff. I'm a distraction because I'm very happy with my life right now. But
and I'm glad for that, by the way. That gives me hope.
Me too.
When I know someone who's happy with how things are going with themselves, I think, well, see, I can.
Yeah,
that can happen for me too.
I think things are going to get a lot better for you real soon.
Well, I mean, I hope so. But I am encouraged by the fact that you are happy with your life and you feel good about things, because, you know, that should give everybody hope that that can happen for any of us.
I still eat meat. Had a really good steak last night.
What's that got to do with anything?
I had part of it for breakfast today. I'm saying meat is the key to a lot of my happiness. Prime rib.
I don't think that's going to be my case, but.
And I worry for you. We are so over time.
Have we achieved a record?
No, we're not that bad. Well, I don't know. I don't know what our record was. We're at about 106, and this is just for the internal part. So, but I think we've hit like 120 with the external.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, go to the blog. Tell us what you think. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and do that also. And we will talk to you people next week.
Next week.
You think we should apologize for this episode?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.